You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, we want to welcome you to church. It's Palm Sunday, the beginning of the most celebrated week in all of Christianity. The events from Palm Sunday that carry us all the way through next Sunday, Easter. This is a huge week. And in fact, it is the most celebrated week in all of Christianity. Clearly, this is not the way any of us would have chosen to celebrate Palm Sunday, quarantined in our homes. I tell you, this is a real deal now. Every day we just think, wow. For sure, it's been a lifestyle change for a culture that runs the roads, that eats out every meal, and their whole life revolves around sports and entertainment. Boy, it's been a culture shock for us. You know, I'm just going over and over in my mind countless times a day, in matter of fact, what Peter said when he said, "Think it not a strange thing that you're in difficult times." I mean, that's what Peter told it. Mm-hmm. Think it not a strange thing when you are in difficult times. And clearly, this is a strange thing for us because we've never gone through anything like this before. But when you read the history in the Bible, the things that God's people have gone, this is not a strange thing. Sure. It didn't catch God off guard. Mm-hmm. He's well practiced at getting his people through times like this. This is not a strange thing. So here we are. We're just doing the best we can. Our church staff is doing the very best we know how to do to connect with you, to encourage you, to lift you up. We're doing the best that we know how to do, as so are you. We're all in this. We're just doing the best that we can do. Well, we welcome you to Panel Sunday. Thrilled to have my wife, Terry, joining us, our pastor, Paul Kern, and our pastor, Josh Barnett. We're here, and we're locking arms and going to get locking arms 6 feet apart. Yeah. We're going to get through this. Well, guys, how are y'all handling this? Just personally, how are you doing, babe? How are you handling this time?
Well, I think I'm doing pretty good. I wake up in the morning and look at my clock, and it's about 8:30, and I want to know if I can start doing dinner.
Sorry. Let me just say, you handled it real well.
Well, thank
you. Our dinners have been over the top.
No doubt.
I really am making an effort, you know, to not do the things, go to Walmart, which is mostly what I do, and not do that. And I tell you what I'm learning out of this is praying just all the time, just all day long, all the time, because I think as Christians, if we're going to change it, prayer's going to change it.
Well, that praying without ceasing,
that's it.
It's taken on a new meaning.
It has taken
on
a life of its own for sure and certain.
Well, Paul, how are y'all surviving? What are you doing?
Well, you know, I'd like to say we're empty nesters, but we're not, because we have a young man staying with us named Noah, who's actually part of our film crew here this morning. But our son is in from college, and so I don't have any hot water anymore, because between two 20-year-old guys, they run my hot water out, so I'm taking a lot of cold showers. But it's definitely nice to have the yard work help again.
So you're handling it by working in the yard.
It kind of landed just right, because springtime, you know, and the grass and the weeds are growing. So
I have a word for all of you teenage boys out there. You can be quarantined in your house and still work in the yard.
Yeah, no doubt.
Get that lawnmower out.
There you go.
Josh, how are y'all making into your house?
It's different, because we had a newborn right during this time. And we've got three other kids that are 7 and under, so it's been tough. It's been kind of a little bit of a scary time when you've got little kids, and especially when you've got a newborn.
Yeah. Time for mom.
It is. You know, the other night, and she won't remind me sharing this, but the other night we were laying down, and she just started kind of freaking out, which it takes a lot to rock Sarah. She's a pretty solid woman of faith. But it was just, you know, all the emotion into it. We've got this newborn, and our family can't even come see him in our home. And so, it's kind of a deal. And we've got these other kids, and we were expecting them to be in school while we have this newborn. Dad still works full time. And so it's got, all these things mixed into it. And, she started freaking out a little bit, and I just grabbed her by the hands, and we just prayed, and I prayed in the spirit over her for a long time, and since then we've been doing good. We've been doing great. I would love to encourage all the parents out there, you know, stay scheduled with your kids. Don't, like, I think it makes it a little bit easier when they have routine. I think routine Good. Makes it easier. Good. You know, take your kids for a walk, get outside.
Good.
And then also with your kids, you know, this is a time where they're going to be asking, why is dad at home? Why is mom at home? Why aren't we going to school? And I think this mm-hmm. is a time to invite them into being a part of what God's doing. Because this isn't really something you shelter your kids from.
Mm-hmm. No.
This is, yeah. you can't. They're, yeah. you know, they yeah. know about what's going on. And yeah. so even my 4 and 7 year old are going, you know, dad, what, you know, coronavirus, what is this and all that. And it's, but it's actually neat because I get to invite them into knowing that Jesus is the answer. Like yeah. we're going to pray to the God who does impossible things that he's going to lift this off.
Good.
So, you know, I want to encourage parents during this time, like teach your kids how to walk through adversity. Yeah. This is a great time to teach them about the God that we serve. So,
well, I want to go back. One thing you just threw out there was we're trying to maintain a routine.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that.
Yeah. Yes.
Paul and I were just talking just a few minutes ago, this last Wednesday, the Wednesday night before, it was Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock and we're in church on Wednesday night. We're
sure.
not out doing anything else. We're in church on Wednesday night. So Terry and I, we sat down, we got out her laptop and we turned on to Facebook Live and our church service started. And
I will say too, even with the boys last night with Miss Tori on the way children's ministry, I made my kids sit down.
Yeah.
And I said, we're treating this like it's kids' church, guys. Right. We're not running off and doing and grabbing.
Good.
We're not getting snacks and we're not going to our rooms. We're sitting right here, just like Miss Tori, like she's right here in our living room teaching. And I made them do that. And then when we worshiped, I was like, all right, we're going to stand and we're going to worship the Lord. And we're going to do exactly what our leader is
doing. Sunday morning is not ever time to go fishing.
Right.
After church, we can go fishing. But Sunday morning at 10:30, we're going to push play and we're going to watch church.
Yeah, that's really vital. And I really want to encourage all of us, you know, let's not get out of our important routines.
Good.
You know, and I think as parents and leaders in our homes, it's really important that we maintain that structure.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking also about, you know, in my family, every night, 6 to 6:30, we're having dinner.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there's just things that you don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And certainly if your church has a midweek service or their Sunday service, whatever time it is, you know, we encourage you to be intentional in that and have a sit down and we'll pay attention.
I think, too, that it makes a difference to know that our church family is watching it
together.
That's we're gathering together.
It is.
And it almost feels like we're able to connect.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about the social media is we can all type little comments and things together like and do if we all gather
that's
at the
really
same
fun.
Time.
Well, it was fun the other night on Wednesday night when Terry was going, so-and-so's on. Oh, so-and-so's on. I need to tell her. You know, so it was like we were amening
that's
the sermon
it.
And
that's
we
it.
Were right involved. Yeah. Well, personally, I'm thinking, how am I handling this? How am I mentally dealing with this? And I'm just staying focused on all that I can do. I started thinking about this morning in my office, praying over our service today. Regardless of the coronavirus or not, you can always focus on what you can't do.
Sure,
you can always focus. Well, we can't do this and we can't go. Well, I can't accomplish this. I can't because of the coronavirus, or I can't because of my education, or I can't because we don't have any money. You can always focus on what you can't do. What we got to do right now, like every day of our life, what can I do today? What can I accomplish today? What can I produce today? And right now, as I thought about this, this is no different mentality than I want to have every day.
Sure.
What can I do today?
Right. That's it.
Now, there's a lot of things we can't do, but there's always a lot of things I can't do.
Absolutely.
There's always a lot of things. And you can look for the reason you can't do something, or you can get up in the morning, you can look for what can I do today? How can I do this? Well, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 21, right where you are. Grab your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 21. We're in the middle of this fight against this virus, but it is Palm Sunday, and we're gathered in our homes, and we're worshiping the Lord, and we're honoring Palm Sunday. And I think it's important for us to read the events, the historical, life-changing, world-impacting events of this week. And I want to read this story, and then I want to break it down and discuss the events of Palm Sunday and its implications in our life. Probably out of all four of us, Terry, you're the only one that can read. So I hear Josh reading. I think he's terrible. Then I get up on Sunday and I start trying to read. And I go, well, I mispronounced everything there. So, babe, you read for us and then we'll take over from there.
I'll give
Follow
a shot.
Along with us.
I'll get a shot and see how we do here.
Chapter 21 of Matthew. We'll start in verse 1.
Yeah. 1 through 11. As Jesus and the disciples approached, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Babe, you and I have led two different trips to Israel and taken tours there. And I just remember you and I walking down that road. I mean, it still brings a tear to my eye right now. Walking down that road, right down that street, and we went over, you can still see the original steps of the temple where Jesus went up and turned over the money changer. This isn't a far-fetched story. We've been right there. I mean, we saw this. We went to Gethsemane, the olive grove. I was right there in that olive grove where Jesus was. But as we're celebrating what we call Palm Sunday today, we want to discuss these events, and we want to go through here and break this down, and I'll start us off with verse 1 and 2. As Jesus and the disciples, they were approaching Jerusalem, Jesus said, go over to the village there, and he said, as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with a colt beside it. Now, maybe that always jumps out to me more than other people do, because I breed and raise and sell horses, and I'm a rancher, and we have calves, and this is something that we do, and a colt doesn't just get tied to a post. And many of you, if you've been in our church very long, you've heard me preach entire sermons on this, because you got to understand, a man had to get a mare, then he had to locate a stallion, then he had to mate those two. Well, the pregnancy, or what you call it in horses, the gestation period, the pregnancy period, is 11 months. So we had to breed this mare, then 11 months waiting on the baby to be born. Well, for a colt to get big enough and strong enough to carry the support of the weight of a grown man, almost 2 years old. So 2 years that colt is, a year of pregnancy, then however long it took to find, so at least for 3 years, God was working ahead of time, getting that colt tied to that post on the day it was needed. And the awesome thing about this, yes, right now this is catching all of us off guard where we are. But I want you to know, 3 years ago, God could see what was going to happen. He's been working to get in place what we need to accomplish what he's trying to do here. That colt didn't just appear. God was working ahead of time. And where we are today, this just doesn't catch God off guard. And you got to see that. Josh, you going with verse 3.
Verse 3, if anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them and he will immediately let you take them. And this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, and we'll go on to verse 5 in a minute, but I think it's really neat too, that it is this young colt. It's neat because it's interesting. It's probably not a horse that's been broken. It's probably not a horse that's been trained, because it's standing there with its mother, standing there with the donkey. And I think it's fascinating. I actually went and looked at the other three gospels and found in all three gospels, it only mentions the colt. It doesn't mention the donkey.
So
I think it's actually pretty neat that it puts these two generations together in Matthew. And as I was praying about this, I thought, as the younger generation, We need the older generation. We need, I love that its mother is there with it. You know, we need, you know, I need Tim and Terry in my life. I need, and it's interesting because it bring them together. It didn't just bring the young one, but it brought the old one with it. And it's like, you know, this older donkey is going to be with this colt to bring it a calm and a peace. And like, it's almost, I see the older generation teaching the younger generation, here's how you submit to the Lord. Here's how you carry Jesus into Jerusalem. Here's how you carry Jesus into the culture. And I even thought, you know, as I've been praying about this coronavirus, is it's been attacking the older generation. And I believe that it's a, you know, enemy's assignment to take out some of our older generation that we as a younger generation still need. And so I want to even encourage, you know, our younger ones out there that you need your mom and dad. You need your grandparents. We need spiritual mother and fathers. We need mentors to come alongside us and teach us how to submit, how to carry the lordship of Jesus into the town.
Wow, that's great. You know, the thing I always think about too in this scripture, it's just a colt, it's a donkey. Hold on just a minute. In this day and time, we're talking about, this is a fully loaded GMC pickup here.
Sure,
I mean, in this day and time, if you had something to ride, everybody else walked.
Sure.
This was transportation.
Yeah.
This is the way you plowed your garden. This is the way you fed your family. So it's no small thing that the owner said, if the Lord has need of it, you just take it. Wow, that's impacting to me.
Yeah.
That
these two guys out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Sure, take it.
But
take
it says the Lord needs it. Okay.
Can I? You think I could do that right up on a car parking lot and say, "Hey, Jesus needs me to have this truck right here."
Yeah,
Jesus.
So.
You don't think that'll work?
I think you had a couple people try to pull that on me. Paul,
but I just think about: are you willing?
Yeah.
Are you willing with no the guy? Okay. Well, how long are you going to have it? Okay. Well, when are you going to bring total surrender? Are you willing for whatever you own, whatever you have, however important it is to you? Are you willing to say, if the Lord had his need, take it?
Yeah.
Well, that's a step.
And I think too, in this also talks about trust. To me, you know, you were talking about how God had that planned years, 2-3 years ahead of time, and this didn't catch God off guard. Now we have to trust that he's got, you know, you just see things in the spirit, and you see the angels, you see things, we're
total
being
trust.
Protected and trusted that we trust that the Lord has got all of this in his hands.
Well, I think this guy, you know, being willing to give up his colt, like you said, that was probably going to be a way that he made a living, plowing and hauling and doing. And, you know, I think for all of us right now, Terry, when you're talking about trust, that's so good because, you know, there's no assurity that you're going to have a job tomorrow. Some of you may have already lost your job, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you know, are we going to continue to put God first in our finances? Are we going to continue to believe that God is our source of provision, not the donkey, not our job, and we continue out of simple obedience? You know, for me, that's one of the big things that always got me about this and the different encounters that Jesus had with the disciples, because it says in verse 3, just say the Lord needs them, he'll immediately let you take them. And I think of the times that Jesus walked up to the disciples and said, follow me, and they just stopped whatever they were doing, and they started following Jesus. And I was just taught, like you mentioned, Josh, about having elders in your life, which are so vitally important. But I was always taught by my spiritual leadership that simple, immediate obedience is the best thing that you can do in any situation with the Lord, because God can bless you when you do that. And this guy, obviously giving up his colt, the King of Kings was able to ride on his colt. You know, he's able to say, out of anybody else in the world, the King of Kings rode on my colt.
Well, go on, Paul. Taste the next
Well, verse 4 and 5, it says, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And this event is a fulfillment of a Bible prophecy. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says the prophet Isaiah predicted this event, and he actually predicted it some 500 years before it actually even took place. And the Bible's just the only book that can do this. There's not another book out there that can do what the Bible does when it comes to Bible prophecy. But in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And I think many people missed seeing Jesus as this long-awaited Messiah because it had been prophesied for hundreds of years. Yeah. You know, they knew this, but in their mind, they had a different kind of leader and a different kind of kingdom. You know, they were wanting Jesus to be this guy coming riding in on a white stallion with heaven's armies behind him, and they were going to overthrow Rome, and Jesus was going to reestablish the kingdom of David. And but and because of that, they clearly missed God's kingdom, because Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." You know, he had a different kind of kingdom. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "Though he was God, he did not think equality with God a thing to be grasped. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took a humble position as a slave. He was born as a human being, and when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death." And I think a lot of people disqualify themselves from being used by God because they don't meet the mold that we think a lot of people should meet in our culture. You know, they feel like they don't have anything to offer God, or what they have to offer God was very small, insignificant, humble. You know, how could God possibly use me? You know, I know if it were me, I probably never would have picked the disciples for my team, my dream team, you know. But I never would have picked that little boy there that day when Jesus was feeding 5,000 people who had, you know, a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. You know, but I think that's what God does. He confounds us. God takes very seemingly insignificant things. And even in this time that we're in, God can take very insignificant acts of obedience, little insignificant moments, even in our lives where we feel inadequate for the task. You know, I don't feel adequate to be a mom right now. I don't feel adequate to be a dad in this moment. I don't feel adequate to meet this need. But God's just that kind of God that takes things. He'll bless them, and he'll use them to do really big things.
That's great. That's great. Josh?
I love that. I love that he used a donkey, that he's this beast of burden. He just showing that he was a humble servant. Showing, you know, right before this in chapter 20, he says the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And here he comes riding on a beast of burden, riding on this servant's, you know, something that just works for you. And he came in bringing a kingdom of peace. He wasn't coming in to wage war on everybody. He was, you know, he was waging war on darkness. He was waging war on the pride of leadership. His spiritual war that he was waging, and just the peace that he always brought in. And it's just incredible. But you go on in verse 6 and 7, and it says, "The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it." And this goes back to the obedience. Like, if Jesus told me that, like, "Hey, go grab this guy's donkey." What is, are you sure he's going to be okay with that? Like, hang on. You just tell him that the Lord needs it and he's going to let me take it. I don't know about that, Jesus, but I love the obedience of the disciples. It's just fascinating to me because it's immediate. Yeah. Like, it's not, you know, there wasn't any questioning. even in the beginning when he said, "Follow me," you know, the sons of Zebedee left their dad in the boat. Like, peace out, dad. Like, see, you know, Matthew, the tax collector, just walks away from his position. Like, basically ensuring he's never going to have anything to go back to, just walks off the job. And they didn't ask questions. They went after exactly what Jesus told them to. And that's how our obedience has to be. We've got to know that obedience to the Lord doesn't require comprehension. It doesn't require understanding.
Full story.
It doesn't require, when the Lord tells us to do something, we do
it. That's good.
And I think many times people read the commands of Jesus and they go, "Man, I don't want to change the way that I live. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to give up that, or I don't want to give up this. I don't want to ever." But Jesus just, he promises, like, you do really this, and there's an exchange that's going to take place. You're going to have peace that passes all understanding. You're going to have joy. And even Tim talked about it Wednesday night. The boundaries, right? The boundaries of God are blessings. Like, even little kids setting up a game, where are the boundaries at? You talked about that on Wednesday night from James. God's boundaries are blessings to us. You know, obeying him, because it leads to a full life. It leads to abundant life. Obedience brings freedom. And so, you know, it's incredible. We've got to be like the disciples, where whatever he commands us to do, that we go and do it immediately, whether we feel like it or not, whether we understand it or not. He never calls us to understand. He just calls us to obey.
I just think about countless times in my own life when God has called me to do something. Okay, well, I don't have any money. Well, how am I going to do? Okay, well, then what's, okay, well, what about that? We just got 100 questions that start flowing. And back what you said, the disciples, I got a lot of, okay, is this guy going to beat me up? Okay, all right, how big is this guy that I'm going to go take his donkey from? You know, the questions, we have them. Yeah. And Josh, man, what you're saying is just, it's vital for our life. Simple obedience. And man, I like what you said. we don't have to fully understand it.
Right. Yeah.
We just don't have
well,
to fully
we understand. Rarely do. I mean, I can't rarely. Think of one time where you've been where really you've been asked to go in obedience and do something and you yeah. knew the blessing that you would
That's
receive
right.
out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't how we don't know we didn't know how it was all going to yeah. fit. You don't yeah. know how it's all going to work out. There aren't any times that I can think of that we know the end, mm-hmm. but we trust that He does.
Right. Yeah, that's so yeah. true.
And right now, I don't know how this is going to
that's
end.
That's right.
No. Tim, what's going to happen? No. What's going to happen? I don't know. All I know is God told me to go get this cold
one day
tie and bring
right.
it back. That's all I know I'm supposed to do.
I think it's amazing. I remember being a young Christian, you know, when I first got saved. And I didn't question anything that God
that
asked me to
so
do.
True.
I mean, I was like a little child.
Okay.
If God
okay.
said,
okay.
do this, do that, I was like, okay. Yeah. I remember being talked to about going on my first missions trip. And they told me, I think back then it was going to be like $1,200, which to me might have been $12,000. When they told me $1,200, I went, $1,200?
Yeah.
And I had to raise that money. But I wanted, but I just thought, okay, God can help me get that money. And God did help me get that money. But I think as we get older, we tend to complicate things and make mm-hmm. it a lot harder than it needs
yeah,
to be.
Sure. Yeah.
I was reading this morning just about consider the birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at my birds outside and the bird feeder eating and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they didn't know where that seed came from and they didn't care.
Yeah.
God met that need and God will do the same for us mm-hmm. during this season of yeah. our life. God, we just got to do yeah. what He asks us to do.
Come to Him as a child.
That's
yeah.
it. That's
yeah.
it.
That is. Back to go on the first nine, where are we?
Let's see. I'll read 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of Him. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens." This passage right here is the first time that Jesus let Himself be acknowledged as King,
mm-hmm.
as the King of Kings. Is that is what He was coming, and He let that happen. And I think that for me, you know, when Jesus entered into my life,
mm-hmm.
I was like these people along the road.
Right.
I wanted to worship Him. I wanted
yes.
to praise Him. I wanted to have some expression. They were expressing
mm-hmm.
how they felt about Him
yes.
as their King. And I can remember doing that. I can remember when He entered into my life, it made such a difference
yeah.
that there had to be some kind of expression that came out of that. And
yeah.
I would have been the one, you know, doing the branches or doing, and everybody expresses it differently.
Sure.
But the point, I think, is that when He enters,
mm-hmm.
when He comes in as King of Kings, there has to be some acknowledgement of that.
There
has to be yeah. some
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
expression of that.
Well, I think it's almost like an overflow. You know, you can't
Absolutely.
Help it because,
that's right.
you know, just think of it this way. If we were all sitting in a restaurant somewhere, or if we were in the mall or whatever, and somebody announced, "The president's coming through the front door right now, the president's coming through," what would you do?
Yeah.
Whether you voted for Him or you didn't,
yeah.
whether you
yeah.
like Him or you don't, it doesn't really matter. It's going to invoke a response of, wow, the president's coming through. And I think for all of us, because Jesus is the president of our life,
Absolutely.
You know, it invokes response. You know, I think about Terry and Tim, and, you know, I've had the opportunity to sit a few rows back behind them during church all these years that I've been around, and even when your girls were really, really young. And watching you and your children worship the Lord together on Sunday morning. And even as now that they're grown, they have families of their own, and they have their own kids, and watching all of you down there worshiping, lifting your hands, kneeling,
yeah.
singing out loud, sometimes even dancing. You know, I get to observe all of this. And I think about people who come to church, and they're like a dead statue.
Yeah.
They just stand there.
Yeah.
They don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold up. This is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is the Lord of Lords.
Well, and that when I read that, I thought, you know, I can see the road that we went down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In Israel, I see that. And I can just picture this where you have, he's coming down the road riding the donkey. And then you have people right here that are excited about it.
Yes.
And expressing that excitement. And then you have people a little bit further back that are spectators.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're there.
Yeah.
And they're kind of buying into it.
Wow.
They're buying into this. Yeah. Yeah. But they're kind of just spectating and looking to see what is this. And then there's, I am quite sure there were people in the city there that had no idea what the hoopla was all about.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a vision of today's society, church.
No doubt.
Possibly you can be a spectator in church.
Sure.
And never really participate. Now, your participation doesn't have to be like mine. I'm not making any judgment there. I'm just saying, who is this man to you?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And to me, there was so much going on the inside of me that it has to come out or I think I'm going to burst.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know, you look at this, and as Terry said, this is the first time that Jesus allowed the people to worship him or honor him as king. And too often times we get hung up on one part of Jesus and don't get the total picture. Mm-hmm. He had to be a baby. Yeah. And we celebrate that at Christmas, a baby in a manger. And he had to be he had to be born a natural birth. Mm-hmm. That is what had to happen.
Yeah.
Then he had to be a servant.
Yeah.
He came not, you already said this, he came to serve, not be served. He had to be a servant. Too many people get hung up on the little baby Jesus. And that's where they stay.
Right.
Then too many people get a relationship with the servant. Do this for me, do that for me. God, bless this person, bless that person. God, their prayer is all about the servant aspect of that. Yes, he needs to be your Lord, but he is king.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is this verse 9 right here.
It is.
Yes, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
I think too, what it reminds me of is there's another place in the scriptures that talks about the rocks. If we don't praise him, the rocks will.
Yeah,
and I have gotten a hold of a few things in 40 years of doing this. And one of them is tithing and giving. And I never, not one time, not ever in probably 35 years has the basket on Wednesday night passed me that I did not put something in the basket because I believe that. I got that. That's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got, if we don't praise him, the rocks will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I may not be great at a lot of things, but surely I'm not going to let a rock outpraise me. I'm not going to be replaced by a rock.
Good.
Well, I think that's just a test. I think that's actually the same thing in another gospel where a religious leader comes and says, you're going to let all these people say this about you. They're going to let you praise him. And his lordship, his kingship, he's God. And he's like, he's basically saying like, I demand this, like my presence alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't say it, the rocks are going to cry. Like the creation is going to open up and declare it because I own all this.
Yeah.
Like this is all mine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that I love that verse too. It's so good.
Josh, go ahead.
Okay. Last two verses here. Verse 10 and 11 says the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They ask. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I love that verse 17, the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. And that's, you know, what we were just talking about is, you know, there are different responses to Jesus, but everybody has to respond.
Yeah.
And so an uproar doesn't mean they were all excited about him being there.
No.
Right.
Exactly
everywhere Paul took this message, there were riots.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
people got angry because they didn't want to bow to the lordship of Jesus. And, you know, this uproar could mean a whole different thing. I even think of in Acts chapter 17, where they pull the guys out of the house of Jason and they say, these men have come here to turn our city upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the presence of Jesus does, is he turns.
That's
even
good.
Even you read on the next verse, Jesus goes in, leaves this, goes in to clear the temple overturns tables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everywhere Jesus goes, he overturns cities, he overturns nations, he overturns tables, he overturns our lives. The lordship of Jesus will always overturn. Yeah, he'll always overturn those things. You know, just like the cult, he comes in and he breaks us, and he demands that we submit to our lordship. He not like, you know, in a mean or frustrated or angry way, but yeah. so that we can carry his presence the way that we were designed yeah. to carry him into yeah. the culture. It's not to ruin our fun. It's not to make us a mindless slave, but it's truly to bring us freedom. He comes in the most gentle way. He comes on a donkey. He comes in humility. He comes in meekness. He comes right. in kindness. It's the kindness and goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And I think it's incredible here that he came like this, knowing in 5 days.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. true.
In five yeah, days, yeah. these same crowds are going to be shouting, crucify him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if that didn't prove the love of God right there, that yeah. he marched Absolutely. Straight into that city when yeah. he knew what was about to happen so to him, good. That he was going to be betrayed, lied about, beaten beyond recognition, nailed to the cross, and killed mm-hmm. so that he could have relationship with us,
right. yeah.
so that he yep. could be close to us again.
Yeah.
And the question they ask is, you know, who is this man? Who is this man?
What a question.
Thinks that's the most important question in history. And it reminds me of a few chapters earlier when Matthew 16, verse 13, when they come in the region of Caesarea Philippi and he looks at his disciples and he says, who do people say the Son of Man is?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, some say he's John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. And he says, I don't care what people say. Who do you say that I am? And that's what he asks every one of us is,
yes.
who do you say that I am? And you know, Peter pipes up and say, you are Christ. You yeah. are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because yeah. flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, you know, who is in heaven. And that's such a powerful verse there, such
is.
A powerful question. And I think even right now, while you're sitting in your homes on this Palm Sunday, this is a great time to refocus.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great time for a realignment of our mm-hmm. heart. This is a great time for us to go, who do I say that Jesus is?
Yeah.
Well, I may say it with my mouth, but does my life prove
yeah.
it?
That's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does my home prove? I think right now is a great time to look around your home for everybody to kind of do, you know, evaluation is the word I'm looking for. Yes. Evaluation of your life, of your home, of your heart, of your marriage, of your kids. Have I submitted to the Lordship? Who do I say that Jesus is? Who does my mm-hmm. who does my life? And, you know, just like the colt, have you submitted your back to him? Have you submitted mm-hmm. your life to him? And I want you to know this morning right where you're at, you know, he doesn't come in anger. He doesn't come in abuse. He doesn't come in frustration. Matthew 11:28 says that he comes with a light burden. If you're weary or, you know, you're heavy laden, that he comes to give us rest. And I want to ask you this morning, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say the Son of Man is? Right where you're at on your couch, you know, on sitting in your kitchen or wherever you're watching this right now, I believe that the love of God comes through this question that who do you say that Jesus is? Because he says, come to me and I will give you rest and I will bring you freedom and I will bring you joy and I will bring you peace that passes understanding. I'm praying right now that the weighty presence of the love of God would come and fill your home. That weight wouldn't be a weight of perfection. It wouldn't be a weight of performance. It wouldn't be a weight of do this and do that, but it would be the weight of the love of God that comes in and allows him to, like the donkey, sit on your back where we submit right. to the Lordship of Christ so that we can be the church, so that we can be who God has called us to be. And I'm praying right now, just a little ministry moment here, that God would touch you wherever you're at.
That's right.
That he would touch you, that you would feel his love and his joy and his yes. peace like you've never felt before. You know, he's the God of brand new starts. He's the mm-hmm. God of as many chances as we need. He's the God of great grace that giving us the love that we don't deserve. And I'm praying that his matchless love would just come in wave after wave and not only hit you, but hit your spouse, hit your children, fill your home right now with just the atmosphere of his love. And I'm believing that Palm Sunday, right now when you're stuck in your house, that you can have an encounter with the living God where you'll never be the same.
Yep.
That he would overturn the tables in your heart out of love.
Yes.
Out of love that he would come in and turn your city upside down.
Josh, I'm going to ask you to close
yeah,
this here
sure.
in prayer. I want to ask you. Right there,
yeah.
on your couch, wherever your family is today, right now, maybe around your kitchen table, joining us here on this Palm Sunday. The question then, and the question is today, who is Jesus
yeah.
to you?
Mm-hmm.
Who is Jesus
yeah.
to you? Josh, pray over us.
Lord, we thank you so much that we get to gather in here today, that we got to study your word. Lord, I lift up everyone that watched this live stream, mm-hmm. that it would be a life stream, that it would
yes.
be a stream flowing into their homes right now, full
yes.
of your life and full of your love, and that you would convict men's hearts, you would convict the heart of women, you would convict the heart of our children, Lord, that we would turn our eyes to you, Lord, that you would use what the enemy has meant for evil, you would use what the enemy has meant to take, to to silence the church, to put us in isolation, that you would use that and you would turn it around for your glory, for our good and for your glory, Lord, that this would be a time where we reflect on our life, where we reflect on where we're at, Lord, and that we would look and say, I know who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I shout Hosanna this morning. I shout praise to you. Lord, I ask that your love would fill every home right now.
Yes.
Your love would fill every home. Mm-hmm. That just the weighty name of Jesus would be present in our homes this morning, God. Mm-hmm. That we would look to you for everything, for every answer. God, we bow to your lordship and we say, you are the Christ. Mm-hmm. You are the Son of the living God. Yes. You are the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we worship you, God. We refuse to let rocks outpraise us, God. Mm-hmm. We worship you and we will not be silenced, God. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us, Lord, so that we could be free, so that we could have a relationship with you. God, I love you. I lift up every home that has watched this live stream.
Yes.
And I ask that you would be with them this morning, that your peace would reign in every single home. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Well, as always, our panel Sundays go by so fast and we're out of time. But I want to remind you, in this very difficult time we're in, how do you answer the question, who is this man? Who is this man? God bless you. Our church staff is praying for you.
Yes.
And we're going to get through this thing. Amen. And we're going to get through it victorious.
Yes.
God bless you and have a great holy week as we celebrate this week from Palm Sunday. We'll see you next Sunday, Easter.
Awesome.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.